Hey, what's good, everybody? It's your girl, L'Oreal.
It's your girl, Dree.
Or Drea.
Either way, girl is cute, girl. And you're listening to Lux Lifestyle. And we are here for another episode. It is episode 5.
Or is it 6?
Time goes off so fast.
I know it's been so many episodes. I think we are on 5, though. Last week was 4.
No, I think we're on 6 this time. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I did that. Yep. We are on episode 6, y'all. Dang. We so crazy. It's been a lot going on.
For sure.
We're just excited to kind of begin. We just had this really cool conversation with our guest for next episode. Yes. So get ready for episode 7.
We got a guest. Tune in.
Yes. I think y'all are going to enjoy it. And if you're from Galveston County, Houston area, then you're really going to enjoy her. She has a little bit of all vibes. She gives us come on, L'Oreal. What's the word? She's giving us like credit repair vibes.
Yes.
She's giving us
movie review vibes.
She's giving us mom vibes. She's giving us like let's come together as women vibes. So we're doing some women's empowerment, and we can't wait for episode 7. So hopefully you guys are ready too.
Yes. Ooh. How's your week been so far?
Ooh. It's time for thank God for emoji.
Yes. Indeed.
My week has been a week, but it's been great because I'm alive.
Yep.
God let me see another day, so that's what I'm going to be thankful for. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
It's Sunday, so I got to really give reverence to God because I made it through another week. But no, seriously, y'all, it's been a crazy week. Again, this is episode 6, week like 4 for me with my nerve issue. Like y'all know, I have a nerve disease, and we've been really trying to figure out what's going on with it. I had to go to the doctor. I told y'all last episode, I went to the emergency room and I was irritated with them. Had to spend all that money for them to give me some medicine that I could have just got from the pain doctor one time, but whatevs. So I went to the pain doctor, and she gave me these injections. It's supposed to be like a numbing injection, but it really didn't work. She told me that like since the pain has spread from my arm up, that one side of my body is like been swollen.
Ooh.
So y'all, I have not been able to wear my bra strap on that side. Ooh. All I've been doing, like when I'm sitting at work, all I can do is like wear my heating pad. Like your girl has been struggling with this.
Ew.
So I'm really just hoping that I can find something different, because at this point I've had the nerve disease for 3 years now. I've been taking meds and it's not improving. It's actually spreading. So my next step is I really want to try a herbalist. My mentor / friend, she started off as my mentor in high school, but we've become friends since then.
Aww.
She introduced me to her herbalist. She gave me the number and she was like, I think you should look into it, because she also has an autoimmune disease, which is called Hashimoto's disease. So yeah. Girl.
I was like, my face was like, what?
Yes. So she told me that this will work. She said that the doctor kind of detoxed her body from having all the meds that she took before. Uh-huh. And now she does like, they have CBD stuff that she does. They have all these like different herbs that she wants her to try. Like, it's something called lettuce. Some type of lettuce is something. But I've heard a couple of other people in my complex regional pain groups saying that they have tried the lettuce and it actually really helps for pain. So I'm at the point where I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired of taking medicine. I've done a couple different pain procedures because I've done other things besides medicine. I've done like 6 procedures where they've tried different medicines going into my body and it just didn't work. I guess that's the hard thing because it's complex.
Yeah.
They don't know what it is, and it's not their fault, but it's just I'm at a point where I have to try something new.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try the herbalist, see if that works, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to try something else, because right now they said it's chronic, it's going to be here. So it was supposed to last from 2 years. Mm-hmm. They said it can last from 2 years to the rest of your life. It's been 3. So we're just gonna pray that it's not gonna be the rest of my life, and we're just gonna make it go through. Like I said, we got the Lord on our side, right on, like, and you know, your girl's been good. Work.
That face.
Ooh, y'all know I don't like my job. Again, I thank you, Lord, because I don't need my job taken away. But exactly. Y'all know I don't like my job.
Exactly.
It's just been crazy. My coworker that was fired, that was let go.
The one that with the little knife that you told me about. That one, or there's another one
with the knife.
Remember, you said a little woman came in trying to threaten.
Oh yes, girl, her. Okay. I was like, wait, I forgot. Okay, so apparently she's been driving around our offices like every day. She even told my supervisor that she drives by in the morning and the afternoons.
She's, wait,
yes, I'm just like, first of all, how you gonna be a weirdo and tell everybody that you are a weirdo?
So you stalking premises that you no longer work in.
Yes. So my other coworker, who she didn't get her fired, uh-huh, but she kind of started the little trickle down to get her there.
Oh.
So basically, the lady, let's call her Susie.
Uh-huh.
Susie wasn't doing what she was supposed to do. Susie didn't file her cases. She didn't call her clients. She wasn't doing case notes. Like, Susie was just lying. She even...
Falsified records.
She took... application where our supervisor signed it,
uh-huh,
she cut it and she copied it and pasted it on the rest of the paperwork. She was not supposed to do that.
What?
So the other coworker, let's call her Dee Dee.
Uh-huh.
Dee Dee was like, okay, this is not cool. I'm about to start telling. So she started going through all of her stuff and started writing down, okay, you didn't do this. You wrote this. This was a lie. This was this. This was that. First of all, let me be real with y'all. Especially because this is a position that I don't care about.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to say I don't care about it, but if I'm just being real, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't have a passion for it. Mm-hmm. So because I don't have a passion, ultimately, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I do care because it is clients that there are clients that I really have gotten attached to. Mm-hmm. So I work hard for them, but the position itself and then my coworkers just isn't where I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
So Dee Dee basically set up the whole thing, wrote all everything out, went to the head of HR and basically told her, like, look.
What?
Yes. So Susie got upset. She was like, this is so stupid and I can't believe that you would do this to me and da, 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 da. She got mad. They actually started looking into her cases after Dee Dee gave it to them and they saw that Susie wasn't doing her job. So they put Susie on the plan. She wasn't doing that plan at all. She didn't help herself at all. But we've been in the program over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
So
you should be doing it.
No, she hadn't been doing it so long. It was too much for her to play catch up. Like, it was literally too much. Like, she's probably been gone 2 months now. So, she was probably in the program about, what, 10 months?
Mm-hmm.
Nine and a half, 10 months. And during that time span, she wasn't doing nothing. So,
that's
what I'm saying. So, like, she was irritated with my coworker, Dee Dee. But, mm-hmm, I mean, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, you're not doing your
job. Dee Dee shouldn't have brought light to it because that wasn't her place.
True.
When I'm at my job, all I'm doing is worried about L'Oreal, whether I have a passion for it or not.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about any other coworker because that's not my business. If the supervisor isn't paying attention and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, that's on them.
Exactly.
I don't want any part to that.
Yep.
Because when something happened, like when HR comes and they talking about both of y'all getting a warning.
Yep.
No.
Or basically, why were you worried about her stuff?
Yes, why are you worried about yours? No, ma'am. Don't put me in it.
Loopholes.
My name Bennett, I ain't in it, exactly, and I'm trying to get out. Let's go. Just sign my check so I can get here next week and I'll be back.
Right. Like,
I don't care about any of that. And so now Dee Dee is really nervous, mm-hmm, because she thinks that Susie is coming back to kind of like mess with her.
It's like a Lifetime movie.
Girl, yes.
Oh.
So Susie is, but backstory, they kind of already had a little issue, mm-hmm, before. And and I think Dee Dee kind of would get irritated, and Susie would be like, well, I know what she doesn't like, so now I'm going to just mess with her. She said, I know she don't like certain things. She shouldn't have told me what she didn't like. Now I'm going to get her. So I feel like at this point, Dee Dee is a little nervous because she thinks that Susie's trying to get her. But I feel like really Susie in real life is just trying to be like, trying to get under her skin.
Yeah.
I think that's all she's trying to do.
That's crazy.
But it's super weird. They like, they had to call the police. We had to have like this girl. Yes. We had to call.
If y'all can see my face right now.
Yes. Like, we had to call. We had to have like security on the property, girl. Like it's gotten so crazy. So I'm just like, girl, just give me my check.
That you ain't even working no more.
Like, it's so crazy, but other than that, it's just been funny to me. I've been getting a good laugh out of it.
I'm going to.
You shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have been in that lady business. True. Neither one of y'all should have been messing with each other. You should have just been coming to work, doing your job, and doing what you got to do. Because it's at the end of the day, it's a temporary job.
Yeah.
All you're trying to do is make the money that you need to save to get to the next point that you're truly supposed to be at.
Exactly.
Stop worrying about other people.
Exactly. Girl.
But that was my... Oh, I didn't even give an emoji.
Yeah, your emoji.
My emoji would probably be the... I already did mind blown, but that's where my mind is again. The mind blown emoji.
Mind blown. Man.
So what's yours?
Let me tell y'all. Tell this job, story. I like it because it gives me money, you know. And I like the scheduling that I can work a full 7 days and then have the next week off and just work too. I just don't care about the position. I just don't care about the whole process of it. I'm just like, I'm over it. I'm like,
yeah.
Honestly, if you, I don't, I'm blessed for it for one. I'm just going to say that. But I know that I can do so much more. And I know that this is not my end goal.
Yeah.
And I guess that beats me up every day. I'm just like, I want to find a job in social media so
That's
bad.
What it is.
And I'm just like, every day I go to work, I'm just like, can somebody look at my resume and say, hey, you know what? We got a position upstairs for you to work 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. You know, the normal
Something.
Schedule.
Yes.
Because these 12-hour shifts working overnight, I can't do it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm coming or going sometimes. Like today, I was like, bro, I'm tired. I'm so sleepy. I'm like dead to the world when I get home.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't know. I had an incident with a nurse last night. And it just made me feel a type of way because I'm just like, you know, hey, like, I'm trying to do my job. And when we have Spanish-speaking, you know, patients, you have to go get a whole machine. And the machine takes 10 to 15 minutes. So
That's
last
the
night.
Most.
Yes. The whole process is just the most to me. This is my whole thing. I feel like they should hire people to either be translators at night.
Yeah.
Or they should bring somebody that speaks English. Because it saves a whole lot of, you know, hoopla. Because last night, the machine was finna die on me, right? And I'm talking to the patient. The nurse comes in. She wants to, you know, she has to do her job. And I'm just like, okay, well, can you wait just at least 5-10 more minutes? Let me just get this interview done, and then we can come in and do what you got to do. Mind you, the patient's in the room for about an hour and a half. I'm just like, so y'all wait to come in at this very moment. You just wait. Like, you wait till I get in here with all this trouble with this machine that took 10 to 15 minutes to get set up to decide you want to come in here and ruin my little moment. So, she does that. Then she basically makes a little snide remark. And I'm the type of person, like, I don't know how to hold my tongue anymore. So I'm just like, do I need to say something to her, or do I just, like, you know, what I got to do? So
say
I was like,
it.
Yeah. So say I'm just it. Like, I have to do this interview right now. I don't have time right now. Like, can you, you know, I just basically just said that. So when I said that, the doctor comes in, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, okay. So they're having a conversation while the translator on the machine is talking to the patient's mom in Spanish. I'm just like, and I'm talking to her like, hey, you know, and I'm like, it's too much going on.
Yeah.
So before I even get like the last word, somebody else comes. I said, you know what? I'm getting up out of here. Like, I'll just have to come back. Never did go back, but I was just like, all that. And y'all could have waited just 10-15 more minutes. That's all y'all had to do.
Just give me my time.
Yes.
I mean, y'all just need my little time so I can get on up out of here and y'all can figure out what y'all need to do after I leave.
Exactly.
I don't care about any of that.
And the rules, it seems like, you know, people want to, I guess the rules are like when the nurse is in, then we can't go in. But when we're in, then they can come in any time. And I'm just like,
but
no.
That's not fair.
Exactly. We need to have the same respect. If I'm in there with a machine, y'all need to wait for at least 10-15 more minutes. Y'all are okay. And I hate that. And I'm just
especially
like,
if the patient isn't like literally about to die.
Yeah.
Like, if they are about to die, then I mean
you can
wait a second.
And I'm just like, bruh. So every day I go to work is a struggle. I'm just like, I hate it so much. I'm just like, I dread it.
Yeah.
It feels like work. So
For me, my emoji would just be, I'm tired. Like, I can do two. I'm going to do the blank face, the one with the eyes are slanted and the mouth slanted, like,
bruh. Oh, yeah.
Like, bruh.
Yeah.
And then the tired one, because, Lord, when I get out of here, I'm going to get up out of there.
Yeah. I mean, and I know we keep talking about this each episode, but hey, this is what we're going through.
Yeah,
and
this is a struggle with grace, for real.
We're struggling, and we're trying to do it as gracefully as possible and keep these smiles going. And, yep. It gets hard sometimes, and we don't always have that outlet to go to speak with somebody about it. So yeah. This is what this podcast is for. Definitely. And if you guys have any thank God for emoji responses that you'd like to give us, please call. Let us know. You can leave a voice message on our show. Definitely. After you listen, and just let us know what you have going on and what you've been struggling with or not struggling with.
Definitely.
So, struggle with grace.
Ooh, the Dave Chappelle.
Ooh, Dave Chappelle. Let's talk about Dave Chappelle.
That one. Okay,
clap him. Wait, let's clap.
Yes.
Let's clap.
I love his authenticity. I love it. Because at the end of the day, it's Dave Chappelle. He can do whatever he wants. He's a legend already. Yeah. So, if y'all haven't tuned in, Dave Chappelle has a new Netflix special called Sticks and Stones. So, mind you, and I'm just going to let y'all know, in the show, he says, if you have a problem with this, remind yourself that you clicked on my face. So you signed up for this, is what he said.
Yeah.
Live in the show. So he made a comment about the LGBTQ community. And basically he was, you know, talking to one of his directors when he had the Comedy Central show back in the day, the Chappelle show. And so the word he used was faggot. You know, that's a derogatory term for a homosexual man. And so he the comment he made to his director was just, you know, how come we can say, I can't say faggot, but we can say the N-word.
Yeah.
And see, that's the difference right there. I just said the word, the F-word, and the N-word. You know,
seriously. Right.
And so the lady was just like, well, that's because you're not one of them. And he was like, well, I'm not the N-word either, so what's the problem? And so, you know, social media kind of were in.
And not the G-A, the E-R.
E-R, you know.
E-R.
The E-R part. And she had no problem with him saying that. So, mind you. So, you know, social media went kind of, you know, crazy about, he shouldn't be saying these things, he's offending the community. And my whole thing is, so it's okay to use a derogatory, known, historically term used towards black people. But when we offend someone of the pride community, that's a problem. And it's like, why?
Let's see.
They're both a struggle.
They're both struggles.
They're both a minority.
Both minority.
So what's the difference?
I believe the difference is in, let's just be real about it. In the black community, we say that word does not bother us anymore.
That's true.
We say that we changed the meaning of the word.
That's true.
And we took it upon ourselves to make that our word.
Mm-hmm.
In the pride or LGBTQ community, they don't use that word at all. They do not. That's very specific to that community that word is not used at all. They don't say that they changed it to mean any certain type of thing. Mm-hmm. They don't say that, oh, you only certain people can use it.
Yep.
Nobody uses that word whatsoever.
That's a new perspective. I didn't think about it like that. That's a new spin on that, really.
You know?
I didn't think about it like that. But that's true, though. And somebody else even made the comment, like, you know, when it comes to the N-word, you know, we get mad that other people of other races say it. But I'm just like, well, if we really have a problem, did we really take that word back then?
Stop saying it. If you don't want people to say it, if you have an issue with other people saying it, take the word away altogether.
Exactly.
Am I going to say I've never used the word before? I would be lying if I said it.
I use it all the time. I feel so bad. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Oh, well. I mean, it is what it is. We got to get better. We got to do better.
Yep.
And we have to be that voice of change to say, hey, we're not going to want to use it. Let's not use it.
That's true.
But, I mean, you cannot be upset when somebody else says it. Like, people put it in their music. Like, I remember, whose concert was that? Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole? Somebody had a concert, and a white girl went on stage, and she started singing the lyric, and she said the N-word. And, I mean, at the end of the day, when he brought her on stage, he knew the N-word was coming up. Like, you knew, that didn't just happen that day. That song wasn't just made that day, and you didn't know that. Like, come on, sis. Like, you knew that. You knew that word was going to be there, and you knew that it was a possibility that she was or wasn't going to say it.
And then she's white, so it's like, so...
When they...
You can't get mad about it.
When they get excited,
yep,
and they're seeing that we're allowing them to be a part of the cookout,
yep,
they want to be in the cookout. Exactly. So they singing the songs, having fun, and if we all going along with the N-word, what makes sis think she can't say the N-word too? And how can we be upset about it?
That's true. So it's really like a...
And that's because I'm an African American and I see it on both sides. Yeah. I see the ER and the A.
Yeah.
So I can understand. And I know all the different arguments that we have about this one particular word that we continue to bring back upon ourselves.
That's true.
The other word, the F word,
yep.
In the LGBTQ community, they don't talk about it. They don't bring it up. That's something that is known. If you talk to a person in the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. that's something that you know that you cannot say.
Because they make it, they announce it. It's like, no, we don't. So basically, the black community, we got to work on the N-word.
That's
how
us.
We're going to get rid of that.
We're the ones who are allowing it to be in the world because we continue to say it. We're putting it in our music. We're putting it in our art. We're putting it in everything.
Yep.
If you don't want people to have... power over a certain word, don't use it at all.
Yep. And I think that's another issue that I think the elders of our communities also see. And I understand completely why they feel the way they do now. Because I'm just like, dang, like, the word my grandfather got beat up behind, or, you know, y'all using it like it's nothing. So I see both paradigms of that. And I think what the key point that Dave was trying to make was that people are just sensitive. Because comedians, he's made
people are
like
very
this
sensitive.
A long time ago, actually, a lot of these comedians' careers, if you go back to like Def Jam,
they've
like,
always said crazy
always
stuff.
Make jokes about
but them. They talk about everybody.
Everybody.
That's the thing with comedians, and mm-hmm. people seem to or fail to realize that a comedian is a comedian. That's
yep.
literally what they're up there to do, is to make everybody laugh and make everybody uncomfortable.
Yep.
Like when you go to their shows, you already know, don't sit in the front row because, baby, you're going to be the one that's talked about.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, tall, short,
exactly.
whatever, you're going to be talked about. That they're very consistent with that memo.
Yep.
So I mean, you just got to understand it. If you don't want to hear a comedian, don't go to their shows.
Don't watch their stuff. Don't
do their thing. And that goes on with social media and how people portray like sexuality. Mm-hmm. Girl, we can go deep into to let's get him real.
Yeah.
Like when people say that, like I was just looking on Snapchat earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, InstaSnap, and Delicious posted a Big Booty Delicious,
yeah.
the flavor I love.
Okay,
she posted a video and she said it was that song about the big booties and you can see it. They like real big booties. It's a song basically about that. And somebody commented on there and said, I guess they like plastic booties too. And she said,
oh.
I guess you're the one that likes it because you're on my page.
Oh, dang. Wait, so this is a side note. That's fake on her?
No, I always thought her booty was real.
Yeah,
but I know she lost weight and she probably did some things to her ribs. But yeah,
okay.
But other than that, I think she always had that big butt. She just smaller now, so it's probably bigger.
Huh.
But I mean,
oh,
hey.
Yeah.
So my thing is ultimately to say, if there are things that you don't want to see, don't want to hear, don't want to look at, don't look at it.
That's mental illness if you go check it out.
Like you're going to go check it out and you know
yourself.
That it's going to, you know that it's going to upset you, but you're still going to go do it. Stop.
You
stop.
Know what? I just realized that really social media really is a mental illness platform.
Yeah.
Like when you get, I'm like, they really went in on his show. And I'm just like, y'all don't like it, right? And y'all all retweeting the clip.
Stop.
I'm seeing this clip on my TV. I like it. I like the show. I'm just like, he didn't say anything that I didn't think in my head. Like, dang, like, that's true. Like, he even made a comment about the school shooting. He said he hates active shooter drills. And at first, I was like, okay, where he going with this?
What you mean?
When he said, this is what he said. He said, I hate that they're teaching these kids active shooter drills because, for one,
I said that.
It's in the class with
them. I say that. I say that every time. He is not wrong. Why are you teaching these kids? They're the ones who are the active shooters.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
the ones that are in there.
Exactly.
In most school shootings, it is going to be a student out of the school that is going to be
exactly.
an active shooter.
These
children already know, okay, well, we already know what they got the green folder out. They mean it's time to come get them.
Exactly.
They all in there.
Or better yet, he said, little Johnny in the classroom, like, oh, so where we meeting at after? Okay, over here. Writes down. I said, exactly. The shooter knows where y'all finna hide it, how long y'all gonna hide. When the doors are closed and the blinds are closed, why would we think that the school's on a field trip? They in that room.
They're gonna go in there and they're gonna come get you.
Exactly.
So stop. You're teaching them. And I know that you have to prepare people, but I mean, you're literally preparing them to go ahead and do it and make way. And
you're
it'll
giving
be okay.
them an A-OK.
You're giving them an A-OK. This is the blueprint. This is what you need to do. Bam.
He's probably going to study like, okay, they're going to this at 3 o'clock, usually on these days. And then on top of that, if I go around this corner, they're probably going to be on that side. So let me strategically get
a game plan of all these other people that's thinking the same way I'm thinking, and bam, we're gonna do it together.
Exactly.
Get them all out.
Stop playing.
He's not wrong. That's very true. And at the end of the day, like he said before, if you don't want to hear it, don't listen anymore.
Exactly.
You can stop it right here. If this isn't what you want to hear, if you don't want to see my face anymore, if you don't want to hear this, back away.
So I'm just like, so I'm not mad. I feel like he voiced his opinion. I feel like, you know, people are just really, there is some insensitivity towards it because people just are very sensitive. But at the end of the day, I feel like you clicked on it. You know what he's going to say. Deal with it. Or don't deal with it.
I think more so now, I think because we have social media is what's making people so much more sensitive.
Yeah.
Before, when we were younger, we didn't really have social media. And when people said stuff on TV, we just said it to each other.
Exactly. And it's like, no one else heard it. Not thousands of people heard it. So it's just like, okay.
It is what it is. Oh, he said it? Oh, okay.
It's like, well,
wow.
See you tomorrow.
Well, what a way to struggle with grace.
Right?
It's the Dave Chappelle.
Yes. What's your struggle with grace?
My struggle with grace is Cassie. Cassie struggled for a couple of years.
Yep.
10 years. Yep. Ten or more years with Diddy. They were in a long-term, off-and-on relationship, and he told her that he didn't want to be married. I guess he didn't really want to have any more children with her. And, I mean, they were just in a relationship.
For, like, eons.
With nothing. After, I believe, I think what really kind of truly stopped their relationship was after Kim Porter passed.
Yeah.
Because he was really open about him wishing that he would have married her. And honestly,
that would bother me.
Do you know how bad that would hurt?
That bothers me.
If you're in a relationship with somebody that you've been in a relationship with over 10 years and somebody that they're not even with anymore, that they do have children with.
We haven't been within 10, 15 years.
Since we've been together. And he says that he wish he would have married her. Like, I'm just a box of rocks.
Like, that hurt. It's like when Ghost told Tasha on Power last episode.
I don't watch Power, girl.
Girl,
go ahead.
He told Tasha, his wife.
Yeah.
I just lost the woman that I loved. And she said, first of all, I would have slapped him. On top of that, she said, I want a divorce. His face is like,
oh, that's why she wanted a divorce.
Yeah,
I mean, that's exactly how I can only imagine how Cassie felt.
Yeah, like that hurts. And on top of that, it's like a slap in the face to Kim Porter herself. Because it's like, I've been alive all these years. We were around each other and you didn't think to marry me then.
I had to pass away.
For you to
realize in your life that you needed me.
After you cheated on her with J-Lo back in 2003 and you had her on the app. As a matter of fact, had Kim Porter on the magazine cover, Essence, I'll never forget this, with their two little girls and they just were born. Not so long after that, he was with J-Lo.
I remember that.
That was a slap in the face.
And then they were still able to keep a friendship. But the struggle with Grace is, after she broke up with Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
She's been with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He is fun.
And well, now her fiance, as of about a couple days ago.
Yep.
They have been together less than a year, about 8 months, and they're about to have a beautiful baby and they are engaged. And it's just, I know for women, we have this thing where we see the man that we want or that we picture ourselves with and we say, wow, this is who I want to be with. I don't care what he tells me. I can change him. I can change him. I can change who he is, the little aspects, the little things that he thinks can't be changed. I can do it. I have that drive, that oomph. I can make him do that because of the woman I am. Yeah. I'm beautiful. I'm this. I'm that. I'm that.
Young.
And we think these things all the time, But we don't listen to what the man is actually saying. Exactly. And he's saying he doesn't want to move further.
As a matter of fact, Cassie, I don't know if you ever heard, like, you remember when Cassie dropped, what's that song everybody know her
for? You and me. Me and you.
There we go. No. So she did another song called Official Girl with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And so that song, to me, even back then before social media was popping, people were just saying, you know, that's her telling Diddy she wants to actually be official. So when I thought about that years later, and I'm thinking about that right now at this very moment, I'm like, she's been asking this man to, like, really be there with her and be with her. And now it's like, damn, like, you wasted 10 years of your life with a millionaire.
But you know what?
But then it's like the same time, it's like, did she really want to be married? We don't know.
At that, that's what the thing is. Cassie was way younger than Diddy.
Because how old were we when she came out?
Shoot, I know I was like in middle school.
I was so in March.
Middle
so
school,
grade,
high school, middle school, high school. The last 14. Couple years, like 7th to 9th grade.
So 14, so Cassie about 33 now?
Yeah.
Wow, so she was only like 21 with him.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, first of all, Diddy has this thing with going with younger women.
Lori Harvey,
to be exact. Lori Harvey is 22 years old. She was dating his son. Allegedly, she was dating his son. And when older guys get with younger girls, they know that there isn't any pressure.
Yeah.
They know that the girl isn't really looking for anything strong, long term.
Yeah.
They just looking to have fun. And older guys know that they can have fun with younger girls.
Exactly.
It's no pressure. It's literally no pressure. You can do what you want when you want. Y'all can go out. Y'all can stay up late. Y'all can do whatever.
Yep.
Rounds. You can do whatever.
Exactly.
And I just think when he and Cassie got together, it was just one of those things like, okay, I got this young hot tenderoni on my arm. I'm about to have her and we ain't got to do nothing. I don't have to promise her anything.
Yeah.
Like he had to promise Kim Porter something. He had to promise J-Lo something. They were older. They were more mature women.
Yeah.
Cassie was younger. She didn't need all that. It's just, I don't have no kids. I don't have no ties to you. Let's just be together and let's do this.
Yep.
But as women get older, and as I was telling you before we got on the podcast, when you turn 25,
the enlightenment.
I don't know. It's like you get so enlightened. Yeah. Like that third eye, like you said, comes.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, okay, I need more. I need to do more. I need to see more. I need to have more.
Yeah.
And I think she got to that point. And I think she kind of pushed it a little bit. They talked about it. I know they had talked about it before in an interview. And he said that he wanted to be married to Cassie. They just weren't prepared yet.
Yep.
And I think after Kim Porter passed, it really showed her that this man is truly never going to be the man that she wants him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that we do have to spend 10 years of our life finding this out about a man who told us this when we began.
That's true. And it's weird because I feel like it's unrelated, but it's related.
Yeah.
Like, you know how, okay, Aaliyah's anniversary just passed.
Yeah.
Like 18 years ago, she was 22. The weird thing I've always felt like that, or her situation, is that she was so young, but she knew. It seemed like she was mature and she just knew ahead of her game. Mm-hmm. So with Cassie, I kind of saw that in Cassie too, but the sense I could see what you're saying about the immaturity part. Like, maybe she just saw that, you know, she see what we see of Diddy. I see a millionaire when I look at Diddy.
Yeah.
Like, Diddy
she was just starting off in her career.
Yeah.
Me and You was just her first song that really came out.
That was
the only song that she had. She was just starting. It was new. It was like, okay, bam. I'm me.
Exactly. And Diddy is like, I'm looking at, like, okay, let's break down Diddy for a second.
He's a producer.
Diddy, technically, if you take away the money and the fame and legacy and all that, Diddy's a regular dude. I'm not going to say from Galveston County, but he's a regular dude that just
got
kids.
He could be from Galveston County. He looked like he's from Galveston County.
That got kids, you know. And how I look at it, he messed with different women. So it's like the only thing that separates him from everybody else is he got money.
That's
so
it.
Maybe that's what kept her going with him was that he has money.
I think that's really what it is with everybody. In most situations, let's go Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Oh.
All right.
Girls,
so,
right now, which part of Lil Wayne? The first?
Oh, we going all the way in.
Bet.
All right. So Lil Wayne is a short.
Yep.
Like five. Not visually attractive.
He was actually cute when he was with Toy. I'm not going to lie.
Not visually attractive. Older man. What's appealing or attractive about him is his demeanor.
Yeah.
Because I will say that there are a lot of guys that aren't really that cute.
Yeah.
But they have, like, that demeanor. Like, that okay, he kind of, okay, I like that.
You
look
know.
The way he walking with that look.
Yeah.
So, his demeanor is kind of what attracts these women to him.
Yeah.
And not only the demeanor, the coins.
Yep.
He has money. If you think about it, Lil Wayne probably has about, what, 4 or 5 baby mamas?
Let's see. There's Lauren London, Toya.
Nivea.
Nivea.
It's that one. It's
that
one
we really don't know.
Nobody knows. So yeah, four.
Okay, so four baby mamas. Imagine the same dude from G County that has the same demeanor, but no money, and he had four baby mamas. Those four baby mamas would fight all day long on social media. They would fight in public. They would fight everywhere.
And it's like, for what?
Lil Wayne was separating him. Just the one thing that's separating him from that guy
is
that he has money and fame, and that he's able to have those women taken care of.
Yep.
When, and I hate to say it because I don't want to seem like women just need to be taken care of, but when a woman is taken care of, a lot of the stresses of caring about the other things, like the women or whatever, you don't care about it.
I'm going to shoot you another one.
Okay.
So you remember the father that teaches his kids how to shoot guns, right?
Yes.
And we interviewed him. Mm-hmm. So I went on his page. I follow him on Instagram and everything. And so he posted a picture of, like, I want to say 4 to 5 different baby mamas, right? One, like, she was still pregnant.
Wow.
So it caught me up. I said, wait. Because the two kids that I see, I'm thinking, oh, that's him and his wife, and he teaching his kids. I'm like, oh, you know, and so I was reading the comments, and so he was talking about polygamy and like how he, you know, hey, all the women that he's with or were with, they all get along. At one point, they did fight each other, but they come to a common ground. So the problem I have in the scenario is just that why, in a weird way, it's like, why are women okaying themselves to be the fourth, the third, or the eighth baby mama? Dealing with a dude that, for one, I just feel like if a dude has multiple baby mamas, he has a character flaw. Because if he has one child, this girl, and they broke up when that child was still a baby, he get with you, ain't no guarantee he gonna stay with you. He can even commit to the first one.
Okay.
So why would you have...
Or the sixth, seventh, eighth. Or the sixth, eighth.
So why would you have the eighth child, the fourth child, the third child, or the second child? Well, one and two, I mean...
Whatever.
It's tossing.
Yeah.
But after two, it's like, okay, hold on, you know?
What's going on here?
Yeah. So it's just like, what makes women want to stay with guys that are... In my eyes, that's abusive, in a sense.
It is.
It's a kind of abuse. Because it's like, you're basically sharing this man.
Yeah.
And he's okay with that. And you think that keeping him and, you know, having sex with him and having a kid with him is going to make him stay. And it's like...
It's not. Because clearly the other women did the same thing.
Exactly.
7 times before you.
Exactly.
So it's like, what makes you think that you're any different?
Exactly.
And I know that in each relationship, and I've gone through this personally because I know that men can change for who they want to change for.
Yeah, that's true.
Men really can.
But
it has to be in that man, and it has to be something he wants to do. It has to be something that he feels is the best thing for him at that moment. You have to be that woman. He has to be in the right place in his life.
Yep.
It just has to be a whole.
Yep. But it looks like it happens after all.
But look, going back to Diddy.
Yep.
You saw that he didn't do that. Cassie saw with her own eyes that he didn't go back to Kim. He, even when he was with Kim, he cheated on beautiful model Kim
with
J-Lo.
And he's like...
I mean, it's always something. When you can, if you can see a pattern in a man, because what Diddy has, 5, 6 kids?
Let's see. There's Christian... the boy Jake Justin, technically 4. No, the little girl, that he had secretly on Kim too.
Oh, okay.
She's in between the twins, literally. I'm like, how in the heck did that happen? That's 5, and if you count Quincy, that'll be 6. But that's, you know.
I mean, that's still
his son. That's his baby.
So he has 6 children. Mm-hmm. You stupid. He is kind of kid,
is,
bro.
I'm like, yes.
He has 6 kids, and he showed you that he was never consistent with their mothers.
Yeah.
So if you saw that he was with them, he claimed he loved them so much, and he didn't marry them, at what point did you feel like he was going to be different with you? Because he clearly showed you and told you from the jump that he didn't want anything serious.
Right.
And, I mean, you took 10 years. So it's like, are we so used to... I guess, and that's what we can go into, because our topic today is mental abuse.
Yep.
I think we're so used to hearing that women have to be ride or dies, try so hard, do all that work to keep a man, and you think that that's what you have to do.
Yep. And the ride or die mentality, when you really think about it, it's perpetuated in hip-hop a lot more than I realized, because I really thought about it. Yeah. Okay, when you look at a lot of songs in TV, a lot of black women, not just women in general, a lot of black women specifically, I want to state that, have this ride or die mentality that
even if he do me wrong, I'm gonna stay with him. You ever seen a dude like, okay, I know a few guys that personally, but they homeboys, they cool or whatever, but I know a few guys that'll cheat on their girlfriends with somebody else and they make a post about their girlfriend the next day saying, I love you, this is my babe, you've been through like ups and downs. The ups and downs part, I'm like,
so was you yesterday. On her. The ups and downs was yesterday. You cheated like, on
you
her.
You cheated on her, huh?
Yeah. First of all, don't ever make no post about me talking about went through ups and downs and I still stuck with you, because everybody and their mama is going to know that you cheated on me and I let it stay. I let it happen. So that's number one. Don't you ever. If I have a boyfriend and I take you back, don't you dare.
Ever.
Don't you dare tell nobody that I stuck through you with their stuff. This the mama face. You know the mama. Don't you tell nobody that I stuck with you through the ups and downs.
Because you're gonna say clown.
Okay. And I feel like we're so used to doing that because that's what we see so much. That's what we hear. Yeah. Let's 50 Cent. We talked 21 questions.
Shoot, I go better than that. Ja Rule and Charlie Baltimore. Down as BITCH. That's a ride or die. That was the anthem. Oh, I got one. 03 Bonnie and Clyde, Jay-Z and Beyonce. That started it all off. I thought that started it all off. The ride or die mentality. But
I mean, it was before that, because if you think Bonnie and Clyde,
yeah,
they said they were the 03 Bonnie and Clyde. So it was Bonnie and Clyde before them.
You know.
I think with, let's just dig right into it. So yeah. Our topic this week is going to be called Triggered.
Yep.
So the luxuation is is basically just being triggered AF.
Yep.
We're going to talk about all types of triggers. We're going to talk about trauma that's happened in our childhoods, things that have really molded us into the people we are today, mm-hmm. through things that we've seen through family life, television, and just us day.
For sure.
So with the whole mental abuse situation, let's talk deeply from the beginning.
Okay.
Let's dig deep into it. Okay. So I know for me personally, in the beginning through mental abuse, I can say it started in the household for me.
Yeah.
My aunt, my nana, I love her. She passed away. That's my girl. We have our birthday is a day apart. That's my girl. Like, I love her. And I miss her dearly. But I guess I have a little bit of mental abuse, I guess, inside of me just from her. One thing is, I've always been called the pretty girl. I have, symmetrical face. Yeah. You have this. Oh, you like to talk. Oh, she can do, she knows how to speak in front of people. She can do this, she can do that. But she's a little bit overweight.
What?
So my nana would always say, Loria, you doing good. You all right, but you gotta lose some weight. You don't want your face to be all blown up. And her being my nana, it mm-hmm. hurt, but she was my family. So yeah. We take it and think that just because it's your family, it's okay.
Yeah.
But in actuality, that stuff really
gets
to you deep down without you even noticing it.
Yep.
I can go to being, this was a couple years ago, before I decided to go keto and I lost weight. Mm-hmm. And I can talk about that in a minute, but, one of my neighbors, she basically grew up just like an aunt. She stayed next door to my grandma, next door to my nana. It was like the three of us. Everybody just, we could walk next door. And she was like, "Ooh, L'Oreal." She said, "Ooh, you so getting big." She said, "Girl, you gonna be walking around here walking all big, like whatever." She had her arms all out and telling me all of this, and I'm just like, "At what point did you think that that was something that was gonna help me?"
Yeah,
like because automatically you just traumatized me. Like you definitely set off all type of triggers from even being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like my nana would say things. Not meaning any harm, but it went back to her.
Yeah.
It's a generational thing.
Yep.
When she was younger, they called her Piggy.
So wow.
They, you know,
you see the third eye.
So it's coming into why she thought, telling me that, she honestly thought that she was helping me
by avoiding it.
By trying to help me avoid being
in. But it was really her trauma.
Yeah, it was trauma that she had.
Okay.
And it's like, if you go back to that, somebody had to have dealt with the same thing to get it to her, to call her piggy, to do this, to do that. It's so many things that we don't realize is really affecting us so much. So going back to the ride or die state, I mean, all we know is what people tell us, even in our families. And I know my Nana was married a couple times. One of the things that was important to her was always having a husband or somebody there, because that's what she was raised on. And that's what she was told. She was told that you always have a husband. You take care of him. He goes home. He works hard, does what he's supposed to do. And you're supposed to make sure that he's taken care of when he gets home. The food's cooked. Everything's done. You're supposed to be able to have sex, do whatever it is. I mean, let's just be real. Let's be real. You're supposed to be able to do whatever he says whenever he's ready.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why so many people are so into this ride or die thing. Like I said, it was way before Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
03, because it was Bonnie and Clyde 38.
Yep. Literally.
1938. For like, sure. People have been doing this thing for years. And we don't know that it's anything wrong until we get to
we just 21st century.
21st century.
We still are. We have a couple more years.
Yeah, we in 21st century, and you're seeing on social media that it's actually something wrong with that aspect of thinking, or that way of thinking, or that trauma that somebody put into you that you didn't actually think was trauma, or you could be triggered by something. Because there are certain things, like, I know I will not talk about weight. I don't do that. I don't make jokes. I don't laugh at people if they're heavy. I don't do that. Or skinny, like, because even skinny people have issues with being skinny. I don't do that because I know that it hurt me so much for somebody to think that they're helping me and it was actually hurting me.
That's kind of like what I went through. Like, with my family, I went through getting called white girl. You know, I didn't realize that was, like, really bad to get called. So I was like, okay, I'm the white girl. I talk proper, hung around certain type of people. And, like, when I got to college, I didn't realize, like, wow, like, that wasn't a compliment. That was more like a backhand insult. Like, oh, you think you're better. Because in a weird way, black people tend to, like, consider talking proper to equate that to whiteness. Or intelligence. If you're really smart, oh, you think you white. Y'all are raised like white people. It's like, no. My mom just raised me to want better for myself, and I just happened to speak with my E's and R's, you know? So, it's like, that was a trigger for me, and so, I'm not gonna lie, growing up, I kind of, like, used to get scared to be around black people that, like, came from certain years, so I was just like, they're gonna make fun of me and call me white girl, or they're gonna, you know, oh, she white, or she thinks she better, so I was paranoid. So, I hung around people who I knew for a fact knew me from childhood, which were mostly, like, whites, Hispanics, little Asian, they'd be like one or two black friends. But like, in general, I had a phobia of being around black people because of that. Because it's like, every time I'm around black people, it's like, oh, you think you white, you think you better than this, or you talk too proper, or you white girl this, white girl that. And it's like, I don't know why we do that, but we do that. And that's a trigger to me. And I just feel like I don't ever want to tell my kids that if you're talking proper, that means you're talking white, that means you think you're better. So that is a trigger. And it starts in the home, and I think because my family, because they come from just like poverty levels and, you know, intelligence and all that, I'm the only one that strove higher, you know. So it's like, I'm not better than you. I want it more.
So if we talk about triggers, I looked up the description or the definition of triggers.
Okay.
So it says, after a traumatic experience, a person may re-experience the trauma mentally and physically. Hence, trauma reminders, also called triggers. They can be uncomfortable and even painful. Re-experiencing can damage people's sense of safety, self-efficiency, as well as their ability to regulate emotions and navigate through relationships. They may turn to a psychoactive substance, including alcohol, to escape or dampen the feelings. These triggers cause flashbacks, which are dissociative experiences where the person feels as though the events are recurring. Flashbacks can range from distraction to complete disassociation or loss of awareness of the current context. Re-experiencing of the symptoms is a sign that the body and mind are actively struggling to cope with the traumatic experience.
Oh my gosh, so your brain really is the one that's like,
yeah,
girl, she just called you white girl again.
Yes, yes. Or, ooh, girl, they talking about weight. Ooh, girl. What?
Wow, so the mind is a powerful thing. I understand people say that now. Because, yeah, if you really think about it, triggering can lead to depression.
It can.
And depression just comes like that. And it's all a mental thing. It's all in the mindset. And I think, like, another thing I noticed when it comes to, like, relationships and stuff like that is that Black people don't seem to like want to get help to get those triggers done.
Because, but you know what? Because it's always frowned upon.
Yeah.
People, or not talked about at all. Mm-hmm. I know, first of all, let's get to the basis of it. A lot of times we don't even know we're triggered.
Yep.
A lot of times we don't know that we have these traumatic experiences. Yep. Or we don't know what to how to verbalize it or to even understand it.
Yep.
So first we have to get to the step of understanding exactly what those triggers are, how to move forward from them, and how to go on. Yep. And because people talk down on therapy or talking to someone about it, that's one thing that you automatically take out.
Yep.
So that's why they say people may turn to alcohol or different substances to reroute their mind from thinking that same thing. But if you don't know any better.
Because a lot of people are told to pray about it. It's like, you can pray about it, but like, I need somebody to talk to. Like, yeah. I need somebody to tell me, hey, you messing up. Or, oh my bad. Hey, you're like really going through a lot. You might need to talk to somebody and vent, you know? We turn to drugs, we turn to substances, or better yet, we turn to prayer a lot. And like, prayer is going to help you, but we really do need to like get out of that mindset that prayer solves everything. Because it doesn't. It does not.
I can say prayer and meditation can get you into a calmer mind, mm-hmm. like a state, but when that's kind of over, then you're still back in the same position that you were in before.
Exactly.
So sometimes even just talking to a friend isn't enough. Sometimes you need somebody who really knows what's going on, mm-hmm. how to handle it, and to teach you tools and ways on how to do that.
Yep.
Excuse me. One place that I've heard about lately a lot through a lot of different podcasts is Talkspace.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but
I heard about it one time.
Talkspace is basically a place where there are so many different therapists on one, and they're licensed therapists on one app. What you would pay for one session, you would pay for a year's session with, and you can text them, you can email them, you can send them pictures, y'all can talk on the phone, FaceTime, whatever you need to do to talk to them. And I think that aspect of it is kind of better because you don't feel like you're talking to a therapist.
Yeah.
You are talking to your friends at this point. You're talking to somebody that understands. And because when that whole thing of when you go to the therapist, you go sit in their office, you lay down on a chair, and now you in therapy and you crazy and whatever.
Yep.
I think Talkspace is really cool because you still have that let's FaceTime, let's chit chat, let's text. I can talk to you at any time.
Like it's a not
just
person.
Yeah, it's not just a given like, okay, well I can only go for an hour at yada yada yada. It's whenever.
Yep. I like that, actually. And I think for me, also, another good thing is that I like being able to, like, I'm going to download that app for one. I'm going to do that. On top of, I think that with Black people is that we're really afraid to be called crazy. I don't know what it is about hearing that word. It's like, I'm not crazy. And it's like, no.
It's a trigger.
It's
a trigger.
It's like, it's okay.
That you need to go be dealt with and worked out.
Yeah. That's why I say, you crazy? Girl, you crazy. It's like, I don't mean, like, on a shameful thing. It's like, we take it as shame, like, I gotta go see a doctor. Means something's wrong. It's like nothing's wrong with you. It's just that you're like any other person, a human with feelings. You kind of wanna. You just need to express it in a different way. And I think that we've been through so much, since slavery, that it's passed down, and that's how we cope. And it's in our DNA to think like that. And it's so weird. And I'm just like,
but you know what? I also think about, and this opens me up to like another thing for like women specifically. Mm-hmm. I know we're always labeled.
We're
always labeled. It's either, and that's a sense of mental abuse as well.
Yeah.
Or trauma. Like, as women, you're either the daughter of, the granddaughter of, the wife of, the mother of, but you're never L'Oreal. You're never Andrea. You're never who you are. You're always a certain person. You're supposed to, like you said, yours was white girl.
Yeah.
So you are looked at to be the one that's overly intelligent,
stuck up.
You're the one who you have to be in class. If you go somewhere else, you can't be seen with the ratchets.
Yeah.
or like
liking ratchet.
Yeah, like there's a certain like way that you're supposed to be
all the time. Yep.
And that's not true.
Exactly.
Nobody is like that all the time. Everybody has different parts of their lives.
Like Ray said before, she said we're like onions.
Yes.
Like there's so many different layers to each of us.
Yeah.
We can't just place one label on one person.
Yeah.
And putting those labels leads to trauma.
Yeah.
Leading us to think, okay, well, I do have to be this person. I do have to look this certain way. I have to be this strong woman. That goes back to the superwoman complex. Mm-hmm. I have to be the provider, the nurturer. I have to do this. I have to do that. Who's going to do it for me?
Yep. Even for a man. Like, men, you know what? I realize that they need counseling, too. Like, bad.
Because men are labeled as well.
Yep.
Men are labeled as the strong men. They're supposed to be able to fix cars.
You can't cry. And it's like,
men can't cry. They are supposed to be able to fixers. To women are the nurturers. Men are the providers.
And that starts in the home. Because with the son, with the guys, I was around somebody that has a son. And so he started crying. And the first thing that everybody was saying was, quit crying. I said, no, let him cry. And the baby was so sweet. Like, he cried, but then he wanted to help us. And I said, yes, you need to stay that way. Because in an aspect, it's like, I don't want a little boy to think that helping out people or being nice or crying is sensitive or that means he's less of a man. It's like, no. We women complain about finding men that are, you know, that are in tune with their emotions, that are nice, but yet when we teach our sons not to cry, not to do this, not to show emotion, what you think they end up doing? So when they get around women, it's like, I ain't gonna cry. Like, you don't need to know my feelings. You need to know I'm vulnerable. Like, that stuff is, nah, you know? And so I'm just like, it starts in the home.
So for the millennial generation, this is what we need to do. We're the last of the
people with the common sense.
I'm sorry. I was trying to find a way to say that without saying it, but we're the last breed of common sense havers.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I want to shed light on this one particular thing before I get into that too, because it'll kind of lead into the closing. As millennials, we have to kind of be the ones to start the trend of making sure everybody knows what we know.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, ultimately, we're the last ones who have common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't trying to talk about y'all little babies, but little babies, y'all need some help.
For real.
And I really want to give a shout out to Megan Coleman.
Okay.
She started this group called Girls in Great Vibes. And I think it's super, super dope for women to have a space where we can feel, we can be vulnerable. We can talk about our highs. We can talk about our lows. We can talk about having fun. We can talk about twerking. We can talk about studying. We can talk about whatever it is that we need to have. And I love the way that she made that platform. There are older women in there. There are younger women in there. And she started this thing called Adopt a Best Friend.
Okay.
So it's basically partnering people up with each other to just be able to have a friendship, to network, to do whatever it is you need to do to help somebody. If somebody's about didn't have a friend that they could call on to talk to, that's what you're supposed to be there for.
That's nice.
And I feel like it was a super great thing that needs to be held out for everybody. I know a lot of the guys on Facebook have been upset because it's an all-girl group. But sometimes women do need a space to ourselves.
Yeah.
Where we don't have to worry about the opinions of anyone but ourselves.
Yeah.
Because sometimes women, people are so much of trying to get us to pull apart and never getting us to come together. And when we get those spaces of coming together, it helps out a lot mentally and emotionally because only women understand how women feel.
Yes, only women can tell you how a woman thinks. I can't stress that enough.
So, guys, if you guys can come up with something that can help you and not a space to talk about women or talk about not being in the female group.
Yeah.
But just a space where you can be vulnerable too.
Yeah.
Men, I know a lot of times y'all try not to be vulnerable around other guys, but I mean, you gotta be realistic. Everybody is going through the same thing.
Yes.
And that's what I've learned so much. Like, I've always known it because we're all humankind. Right. we're all real. But we all, like, sometimes we don't see that other people are going through the same things that we're going through.
Exactly.
So it makes us feel like we're in this alone.
Yeah.
Since this group has started, it makes a lot of people see that, dang, yeah, we can do this. I can be who I am 90% of the time and 10% of the time when I want to be somebody else. Let me get back on real Facebook. You know? Like, it's just a really good thing. And with the triggers, with the mental abuse, this all comes together with saying that we need each other.
Yeah.
We have to be able to teach each other. With those, with the women in the group, with the best friends, some of it is women that are older, that can be mentors to the younger girls and the younger generations. We just need to make sure that we can do that for each other and mentor somebody that doesn't need it. How we're talking about how the younger generation, we're the last ones with common sense.
Right.
Let's go find somebody that doesn't have the same common sense that we know we have, that they don't, that they need.
Exactly.
And we can go do that. So shout out to Megan and all the girls of the Girls in Great Vibes group, because I think it's super dope.
Yes. And that definitely brings us to the euphemism of the week. So I couldn't find a particular word, but I think I'm going to use a term. So since we're saying they're going to pass down knowledge and, you know, help each other, I think we should call it pay it forward.
Okay.
If you know something that you feel like somebody doesn't know, teach them. Don't belittle them. Yes. You know, educate them on what they should know.
Yes. Educate me.
Yes. Educate. Don't belittle. If you see someone struggling with something, whether it's financially, mentally, maybe it's just personally, or maybe at the job, talk to them. Pull them to the side. Hey, you need somebody to talk to? Hey, you need to chat with somebody? You need to do something? Yeah, I do. Just be that person that opens a door for that person to feel like it's okay to feel the way they feel. Yeah. And that's what I really, that's what I can bring for today. I definitely need it.
Yes. I feel like this episode was like super, super cool.
Yes.
And it's getting us prepared for episode 7, which we told y'all in the beginning we're super excited about. We're going to start promoting for it right after this.
Yes.
And we just want y'all to know that we're here for you. If you don't want to download the Talkspace app, hey, we're a Talkspace.
Right.
So if you need to talk or do anything, you can always come to the Lux Lifestyle Podcast. Come to our page. Come to our Facebook. Mm-hmm. Go to our podcast. Leave us a voice message. Talk to us, because we really like to hear feedback. And we want to make friendships. We want to build friendships with you guys. So if you're listening to the podcast,
guy or girl,
because we're here for everybody, tell us what you think. Tell us what you're going through, and maybe we can talk about something if you're open to it on the next show.
Send in your topic suggestions too. I would love to see what y'all is really thinking about. That way we can like answer questions and, you know, try to interact with y'all more.
we want to get to know y'all. We want this to be a great space for everybody to interact, have fun, and just be you. It's your girl L'Oreal.
It's your girl Drea.
And you're listening to Lux Lifestyle.